I'm Marco Werman. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. U.S. strategy in Afghanistan may change in the coming weeks after President Obama decides whether to send more troops there. What won't change is the effort to build up Afghanistan's army and police force. The hope is that the Afghans can one day take over the burden of security. But then come incidents like one earlier this week when an Afghan policeman turned on five British soldiers and killed them. Retired Captain Doug Beattie has survived similar attacks. He was a career soldier with the British Army. He fought in the invasion of Iraq and went through three tours in Afghanistan. He says he twice encountered situations that made him question the loyalty of his Afghan allies.
I was conducting a patrol south of the district centre of Garmsir, and the police were with me, but the police then moved off to a flank into the woodlands, joined some fighters from the Taliban, and then ambushed us. And we had quite a vicious fight before we managed to extract ourselves. The other occasion, it was in the same year, was that I was operating in the provincial capital of Helmand at Lashkargah in the governor's compound. We were guarded by police checkpoints. You had to go through three police checkpoints to get in. And a suicide bomber managed to be ushered through all three checkpoints and detonated himself about 40 metres from where I was standing. And it was quite clear that there was collusion between the Taliban or the insurgency and the police on that occasion as well.
And how often does that kind of collusion take place, do you think?
Mark, it's really difficult to put your finger on this, and I'll tell you why. Unlike the Afghan army in Helmand, the police come from the community. They are pretty much tribal police. They're a militia, and therefore they have many influences against them. Some of those influences are tribal influences, some of that family, some of the villages and the districts that they come from, and some of them are from the Pashtun insurgents, because they are Pashtun, who have influences with them as well. So I'm not sure that the police is necessarily infiltrated with people who are sleepers to do this type of an attack. More that the policeman can be turned by the insurgency, whether that's through ideology or whether that's through the dollar.
These police, though, are by profession attached to the central government of Afghanistan. Don't they want their country to succeed? And if not, where does their loyalty lie?
The police in Afghanistan, and certainly where I was in Helmand, bear no resemblance to the policeman that you have ever seen in the streets of Boston or I've ever seen in the streets of the United Kingdom. There's no warrant card and handcuffs here. They are tribal militia. They are untrained, undisciplined young men who are put into uniforms, given a rifle, given a checkpoint. They then sit on that checkpoint. They are habitual drug users of opium, heroin, cannabis. And they have a pretty miserable existence. I mean, that's one end of it, and that's the vast majority, that's the rank and file. The other end is the senior officers from major upwards who do go to Kandahar for training, who do go to Kabul for training, and who are responsible for the criminal investigations throughout Afghanistan. But it's the rank and file where we have the problem.
So is it a matter, then, of who manages to wield the most influence over these police once they have a badge?
I think you've put it very well, Marco. These men are recruited by entrepreneurial warlords who the government pays to form their own militia. They form the militia, put them in uniform, give them the rifle, put them on a checkpoint. And whether they decide to pay them or not is really down to the warlord. So it's the warlord who wields the power, not the government. And the policeman just does exactly what he's told. And because he's not getting paid, because his life is pretty meagre and a pretty medieval existence, this is where these influences, both tribal and insurgent and stroke Taliban, can have such an effect on him.
To be fair, though, you've also had many positive experiences with Afghan soldiers and policemen.
Yes, well, exactly. You know, and I can paint a very dark picture. And in Afghanistan as a whole, there is light and dark.
Give us some light examples.
One of the most noblest, bravest men who I ever served beside in a 27-year military career was an Afghan police major called Major Shawali, who fought beside me in 2006. He was an exceptional man. He had a clear vision for the future, for his family and for his country, and he fought for it. He saved my life on a number of occasions, and I mean that in real terms. He held me down while bombs were exploding above my head or close by and said to me, "Look, I don't want you to fight for me. I want to fight. I want you to help." And sadly, he was killed on the very last day of the battle. So people like him are dotted throughout Helmand and throughout Afghanistan who do have a clear vision for the future. So it's not all dark. But as I said earlier, it's the rank and file policemen where there is the real problem, where there's no vetting. They are taken off the streets and they're put into uniform. That's where the real problem lies.
So overall, how do you rate the prospects for building a loyal and capable Afghan? Well, let's talk about the police force, an Afghan police force. I mean, do the NATO and British and American troops have to figure out now how to win over the rank and file police? And can they compete with the Taliban and other militants?
Yeah, well, I've got to sort of refer them to what the state the Afghan army is in now after we first went in and started mentoring them. British forces were mentoring them since the middle of 2006, and they've come on leaps and bounds. And if you look at the Afghan army now in Helmand, they are exceptionally better than they were 2 years previously. And the mentoring of the police, the living with them, the eating with them, the sharing with them, the fighting alongside them is absolutely fundamental to success in Afghanistan and certainly in Helmand. And what we have to do when we look at the police is we have to look at, do we really want a policeman who is born and bred in the centre of Helmand in Goreshk, being a community policeman in the centre of Goreshk? You're really talking about training him up and then sending him somewhere else. So we need a posting system where we don't allow policemen to serve in the community where they live.
Doug Beattie is author of An Ordinary Soldier. He fought in the invasion of Iraq and then three tours in Afghanistan. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Marco.